Hello, human peoples. You're listening to the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. Support us and gain access to great exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and our latest show, Spiel Boys. Head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do game streaming, movie nights with our patrons every Friday night, and you can even commission your own podcast about anything you want. Literally anything, within reason, and we have to do it. You are quite frankly out of excuses not to go visit patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/gamefully unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Podcast mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
If you put anything in a martini glass, you are classy for drinking it.
It's true, yeah. Right? Especially if you have a pinky up while you're holding it.
Exactly.
A monocle,
oh, yeah, you
a
hold
top
it,
hat.
You hold it at the stem.
Yeah, you hold it by the stem.
I remember I made a drink once and tweeted it where it was infused jalapenos. It was jalapeno vodka infused with habanero peppers, garnished with jalapenos, and I made martinis with it.
Don't lie, Dave. That sounds like an absolute nightmare.
Yeah. Well, it's fancy, right? I tweeted it at like 3 a.m. Pacific time on a Sunday. And one of my favorite responses was Jason Pargin, who was our boss at the time, responding with, "It's 9 a.m. on a Monday."
And then like, that's mad, baby.
I drank it, and then I went to bed, and 3 hours later, I woke up, and my stomach was on fire, and I was buckling over in pain, because it turns out you shouldn't do what I did with habanero peppers.
You're constantly putting, like, hazards into your body, though, Dave. Like, I've never heard of a person who's more experimental with their diet.
I feel like you had, like, a sideshow streak in you. Like a geek streak in you.
I have snorted several things you're not supposed to snort either.
And it's probably not what I'm expecting.
No, I did Benadryl once. It blew my allergies away. Cayenne pepper to clear sinuses. You do knuckle bump. You can still do it. A knuckle bump of cayenne pepper, just the sinuses, if you're stuffed up. Mm-hmm. Guess what's going to happen when you do that?
You're gonna
they
blow
aren't
your
stuffed
nose.
Up anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird.
That makes sense. That makes a weird amount of sense. Old,
it's folksy advice, right?
That's why you always had loose cayenne pepper in your pockets.
Exactly.
Not to throw at your enemy.
Yeah, for that and for pro wrestling run-ins, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Just right in the eyes. hello, everyone.
Hey.
We're on the episode of Hypecast!
Hype.
It's the show where we get hyped about stuff and things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I'm your other co-host, David Bell.
I'm the guest of this episode. My name is Abe Apperson. Hi.
Hey.
Glad to be here, you guys. I love being here.
Oh, man, we love having you. Anytime we can have a professor of movies to class this joint up a little bit.
Yeah. Thank you.
Much
with my top hat.
Needed.
Cinema.
Professors have top hats?
Top hat and tails. Nothing else, though. Just the
way
top
I
hat
do
and
it.
Coattails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing else.
Nothing
absolutely
else.
Absolutely nude.
Dick out. Yep. Dick that's out. How I like my professors.
Professors.
It has its own
out.
Tiny little top hat.
Of Ooh. Course. Oh, it's gotta.
Class up the joint here. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
Hey, before we get into it, you want to plug some stuff? You want to tell people where they can find you? Where do you come from? Where do you originate? What is
California
your
California boy. Grew up in Morgan Hill, California. Now, Small Beans, patreon.com/smallbeans. So if you haven't heard me on this here podcast or on this network, me and Michael Swaim, who you also might recognize from the cracked old days, he's my writing partner. We're making a movie, and we do podcasts like these guys do. We also have a video show called Please Send Help, where Mike talks about movies coming out, and it kind of feels like does not compute if you remember that old day. And if you don't know me at all, hopefully this is a good reflection of you should come on down to the Small Beans Network.
You should. You should go listen to Inside Dads.
Inside Dads. Mm-hmm. We have a
Within
podcast.
Within Dads.
And Spiel Boys with me and Tom. Everyone probably knows me at this point.
Oh, yeah. We're
pretty
big deal
on the internet.
We're all smushed together.
Not to toot my own horn, but people know me.
Yeah. But toot, toot.
Oh,
but
I'm excited.
I must.
I must. It's the space for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always excited.
Yeah. About anything, right? Mm-hmm. Just in general?
Yeah, no, I'm just down for whatever.
Word?
We should probably name some producers.
Yeah, I'm excited for naming producers.
Tom's so cool today. He's the coolest motherfucker.
All right. A big old thank you to @NerdNumbers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to Zero Charisma.
Thank you.
Thank you to A Bag Full of Bags.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Aaron Burser.
Thank you.
Thank you to AJ.
Thank you.
Thank you to Andrew. Abe deserves more hype, McGuire.
Thank you.
Thank you to Andrew Howe, was too distracted by the announcement to hear any of the trailers. Congratulations, Tom and Marina.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you to Asking Seven.
Thank you so much. All right, let me swoop in here. Thank you to Bob Grenville.
Thank you.
Thank you to Bootler Bootlesson.
Thank you.
Thank you to Brian, who Tom knows.
Thank you.
Thank you to Brockway, loves the meat Millie.
Thank you.
Thank you to Burrito, wants you to drink water, hit the gym, and do the ska, because they loves y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you to Chester's Prophet.
Thanks.
Thank you to Christopher Robert Spartz Esquire.
Thank you.
Thank you to Dan Hackroyd.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't even think about it. Like, when you guys chatted about it last week, I want to say, on Hypecast, like, that was probably the first people had heard.
Oh.
You're having a little rhyming.
Yeah. It's going
to
be a
hadn't occurred
one.
To me either.
Some rhyming spawn.
Exactly, It was as was foretold.
Yeah. Behold.
The prophecy.
The prophecy.
The tablet was right.
I know we shouldn't have broken it on the mountaintop. Curse the Storm Lord and his fickle wisdom.
Yeah, that kid's going to be A-OK.
Yeah.
No
He's
issues
have to watch
whatsoever.
A lot of stuff.
No issues whatsoever with a dad like Thomas.
No.
It's definitely going to, there's going to be so much stuff you're going to have to make it watch between both of you. Where that kid, if that kid's like, I'm not really into movies or TV, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be an issue. Yeah.
They just won't ever know what the hell I'm talking about, which is going to be the case either way. So
yeah, you're going to have.
That's true.
You're going to be super old. Like, we're all going to be old,
man.
But you are going to have references upon references, just knowing who you are. You're like trivia expert. They are going to be like, I have no clue who that person is. But then you'll show them.
It's like us watching Looney Tunes as kids, where it's all like pop culture from the fucking 40s.
Yeah,
and surely
exactly.
This timeless reference will never.
The kids are watching like this. I mean, we were having fun. We were like, "This is funny." I don't know what it is, but it's funny that he did a voice.
I mean, it's a way to persist. Like, I know who Don Knotts is only because. Like, cartoons would reference him. I'm not, going out and watching his old hits. What the fuck, you know?
I was just talking about this on Star Trek Next Futurama, and I was talking about to this with Hannah. The term MacGyvering is just going to become a term, and, like, it'll be us at, like, 90 being like, did you know that came from a show? Oh. Yeah, it's going to be that shit.
Yep.
Anywho, Deadpool and Wolverine, new trailer.
Oh, yeah.
It's here. We covered the teaser. This is the trailer. It has a little more information, a few references. It's got what is his name? The foot guy. It's got a reference to the foot guy.
Rob Liefeld's
feet. Yeah, I saw that on the internet.
Yep. It's got.
It's cute, Dave. It's cute.
Bunch of reference.
Yeah, it's gonna be right. We've already know what this is gonna be. It's gonna be all the Marvel. Failures movies, I think, just
it's
crammed
yeah.
together. Everybody deserves a happy ending is their whole motto. So I think it's going to be all the stuff that didn't quite where they like planned a third one and then it didn't happen, like that shit.
Yeah.
Or a sequel.
I think that it's with Marvel, there's this concept of like playing the hits, and Deadpool especially, because it's, you know, you have the meta commentary there. I thought it was a very smart decision to have an adaptation of a previous moment. Like the whole, trailer is kind of has this framing device where it's Deadpool talking to Wolverine as he is in like a bar, which right. is like we've had that multiple times. Not only do we get it with the original X-Men for real, you know, we had First Class where they come up and he's just smoking and drinking,
yeah,
and
go
like
fuck yourself.
So it's like, I like that when they're doing their meta show, which is what Deadpool is, you know, like,
yeah,
they are self-aware enough to know, like, oh, we should do, like, just bring out the hits. We should do things that people are familiar with so they know what ride they're on. I thought that was smart.
Oh, yeah. There's a debate of whether or not they purposefully copied the choreography from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man versus Flash scene. Oh. Did you see that? Because there's a sequence Wolverine and him fight. I don't think that's the case. Some people are sort of saying, they just reuse cinematography or choreography. Like sometimes choreography just
looks,
you know,
like
you
it.
Have these
yeah.
standards. That said, I just watched Deadpool 2 actually, or most of it. Rewatching it, the thing that struck me is how good the action choreography is.
Mm-hmm.
I saw like one tweet by someone who saw this movie saying it's the best choreography since Winter Soldier. And so I'm kind of hoping this is like going to be, obviously there'll be CGI stuff, but I think this might have some really good fights, right?
Well, like, yeah, that's, I mean, the number two was directed by one of the John Wick guys. Like they make the joke about it in the
yeah.
opening credits.
Like,
and I
doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's like, and using Deadpool as this kind of indestructible ragdoll, they really work at, like, they do really fun things where he's, like, flying from, like, the one car into the truck and, like, sliding and ragdolling, and they really take advantage of that. And so I hope they have the same people working on this.
It's Sean Levy is directing this one.
Yeah, but maybe it's, I don't know,
Sean
the choreography
Levy.
Is.
Yeah, like
yeah,
maybe
that's
the choreography.
New
yeah.
guy or whatever. yeah. What's the name of that one? The NPC Ryan
Free
Reynolds?
Guy.
Free Guy.
Free Guy.
Free Guy in the Atom Project as well.
Yeah, yeah. Which is not... That's the only thing that makes me nervous, I guess. Like, I've always been like... I don't know. Tom, you like the Deadpools a lot, or at least more than me. I've always been so-so, but they're not... I don't know. They've always been very entertaining, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be too worried. It's that particular franchise is like a writer's medium.
Yeah, you know? I was going to say, it's more like Die Hard to me, which it feels like Ryan Reynolds is the one running the show
right.
more than the director, where it's like Ryan Reynolds is like clearly the person sort of making sure these all feel like Deadpool, you know? Like, I know he improvises a lot and like... He just seems like the guy who's more in tune to the character and what the humor is than necessarily the director. So
right.
I imagine he had a lot of say in this, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a producer. He's got a writing credit along with the first two, the two guys, the Venom guys, that did the Zombieland yeah. guys, I guess is the more appropriate thing.
Oh.
And Zeb Wells, who was a writer on Robot Chicken.
Did they do Twisted Metal?
I think so.
Abe, did you watch Twisted Metal?
I did not.
I'm not a huge fan of Zombieland, but I really liked Twisted Metal, and I know it's the same people. I think it's that like kind of meta jokey, like it's a little on the abutting Joss Whedon, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really depends on the context for me. I think Deadpool, it works quite nicely.
Yeah.
I mean, for a reason.
Yeah. Not obviously, but Deadpool is an obnoxious character to a lot of people. I like it feels like his movies keep consistently coming out, like, right when we kind of want them to. Like, Deadpool yeah. 2 came out kind of in, like, a period of, like, where it felt like the genre could use something. Like, something needed to comment on the past, like, 4 or 5 years of Marvel movies, is what I'm trying to say. And now we're, like, we're at the same position where, like, I think it's been, what, like 6 years since the last one? So there's 6 years, a whole bunch of stuff has happened. Like, superheroes aren't the biggest thing in town anymore. It's the character is fine, but I like the opportunity that these movies give the writers to sort of comment on the genre and what's been happening with it.
Yeah, it's definitely, this is the only Marvel film this year, I believe, right?
I think you're right, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, and it's why I look at this trailer and go like, oh yeah, I'll watch that. I want to see Wolverine. I want to see, because it's like we're not flooded with it now.
Right.
And since we're kind of pacing ourselves again, like I actually do, like if there's one superhero movie a year, I'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, I could do a superhero movie.
Yeah,
I'll do a big spectacle. Like it'll be fun, you know?
Yeah, I'm definitely more inclined to go see him in the theater now when it's not, we're getting three a year plus all TV shows. It was really just like, yeah, way too much.
Yeah, when we were in the midst of it, it was like, well, it started, the movies,
they started to not feel essential anymore.
It was mind numbing. Yeah, like, it started, like, becoming,
that was just a weird place for somebody who grew up like as a kid and a teenager and as a young man as like loving comic book movies. And then now we're in a position where it's like, man, I couldn't imagine the Tom that saw The Dark Knight skipping a Spider-Man movie or like an Avengers movie, but I have.
Right, because it's like,
yeah, because of the serialization. Also, it's what I call a Twin Peaks problem. I don't know if anyone, this is an old man reference for Twin Peaks. The season one, David Lynch did Twin Peaks. See, and then he solved who killed Laura Palmer. And then season two of Twin Peaks is like, well, I guess we're just taking this old dusty bag of bones on the road again.
Right. You know, like
there's nothing propelling it because the stories have a beginning and an end. Endgame literally was the end. I don't think it ever picked up from that. There's been one-ups, you know, in terms of like, oh, that was like a wonderful line or what an enjoyable character or whatnot. But ultimately, they were done. That's why I think we've felt aimless, is that it feels like any notch in terms of like story that feels significant to the reality of the MCU really comes down to, well, what are we doing this all for? And that's just an aspect of serialization. I think that they're living in the bed they made.
Oh, yeah. Corporations, they just never miss an opportunity to miss the opportunity where it's like they, you know, they'll run things in the ground. We've talked about how they should have just said, we're done, now here's X-Men. How is it connected? We're done. It's a new universe. X-Men is more relevant now, right? Like it never stops being relevant. Right. X-Men as an allegory for like human rights and civil rights. Like it would have been great to fucking dive into X-Men and have everybody yell at it for like being woke.
Yeah, like with X-Men 97 out right now, and
yeah,
like you see, watching this trailer, I was like, oh fuck yeah, X-Men. It's like, yeah, I'm excited X-Men. For X-Men again.
Yeah, because to me, X-Men seems like a whole different thing.
It feels different, yeah. I mean, they kept them separate for so long that it doesn't feel like the same thing, and I don't get to see those characters as much, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
As for this, like, yeah, this is kind of I'm thinking of it as a send-off, and which is funny because I know Marvel's thinking of it as like, we've only just begun Spider-Man 4, you know, get ready. And like, to me, I'm like, this is a good like send-off to that era of Marvel. And I'll enjoy it.
She's back, the Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah. They added some, they ship should that a few times.
Yeah. They should try to do Dark Phoenix correctly.
What's the last one? Armageddon. What's the name of the Oscar Isaac one?
Oh, Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
I watched that fairly recently.
Learning. Is that, what does he say?
Yeah, learning. Yeah. Like
learning.
That era. It reminds me of like those awesome. Are. They're a lot like they remind me of like later Transformers movies, like Michael Bay ones, where they're just completely rudderless and just out of their fucking minds, where you're like, it's what now? Who's the villain?
Who is this?
That's those fucking, my God, those X-Men.
Also the concept of like, we have the old and the new, we got it all, baby. It's like, no, just choose what you are, man.
Yeah,
you know, like, you don't need to be bringing in the kiddies, and you know
they're not gonna having, too that's the thing.
Yeah, they're not gonna,
because they guarantee
they know.
They're yeah with this new I know
Hugh
they're
Jackman
obviously
Wolverine.
Right, they're obviously like making new X-Men. They're planning on it, and you know they're like, how long do we have Hugh Jackman to play this role?
Yeah,
you know, like, oh, let's just do grizzled old Wolverine. And honestly, I get it, but like, I don't know. Give
there's
it
other,
some, you know, there's well, other people.
There's other Wolverines out there.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I'm putting my.
There's other Hugh Jackmans waiting to be discovered.
Yeah,
there's a maybe they should consider me for the
Wolverine. Yeah, you can do the hair, spike
why,
up the hair.
Why not, Abe? Why not, Abe?
I do punches, yeah. Right? He's a punch guy.
He's a punch guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
His mutant power is that he stabs with his punches, though. So
yeah,
yeah.
You're gonna need some
punch
tape.
Punch stabber.
It is weird to see Hugh Jackman say the line like "Let's fucking go," because they say that multiple times in this trailer.
Oh
and
yeah,
that's like a. Like that has been, they own Twitch streamers own that now. That's gamer speak, right?
Right. It is weird. I actually had two other things. I was gonna move us on, but one, this trailer is clearly showing the first act, right? Like it's he gets the TVA comes to him. He attacks Wolverine. They like they agree to team up. And that's what I think we're seeing here.
Yeah.
And then they jump through the fucking portal and they go. But what I noticed with this trailer is Hugh Jackman's character, he doesn't really talk much. Did you guys get that vibe where like everything he says is like a quick,
it's very
quick,
reactionary,
like what you're
yeah.
saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like, it's
Deadpool.
You gotta be kidding me. What are you talking about? Or yeah, fuck off or let's fucking go. And I just can't help but notice that like, I hope they don't make him also funny. You know what? I guess that's what I'm getting at is like, he's the straight man, right? Like,
yeah.
He doesn't get to
They'll
say funny
that.
Things.
They know.
Yeah.
Because they always have used quiet. Him in the past that way. He's not going to be snarking it up. You
right.
Know, but
like, I don't think this is the case, but, like, the vibe I got was that he's not in the movie much. Like, that was the vibe I got from this trailer, even though I know that's almost certainly not true. Mm-hmm. It would be hilarious if they killed him 20 minutes in. That would be amazing, but they're not
they're
gonna.
They're not gonna, man. He wouldn't have come back for that, I don't think.
I really
think.
Hope. Yeah. I really hope that they find and meet Godzilla and King Kong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Throw them all in
up.
There, yeah.
Yeah. That'd be great.
You guys want to talk about The Watchers?
Yes.
New trailer for that.
Norse aliens, it looks like.
Yeah. I think the bird did it. I think it's all the bird.
The bird? Oh, the parakeet. Right. This is the new trailer for that movie by M. Night Shyamalan's daughter.
Yeah. It's
about
a
Dakota
lady
Fanning
think,
being stuck in what is clearly a human zoo, Twilight Zone type sitch.
She does like, she did some sort of crime, right? And then it's very funny because they frame it as her like, I'd like to get away. And then she just drives straight into the woods like she's has a death wish. Like, where is she going when this trailer starts?
Right.
She's just driving into the middle of the woods with her parakeet.
With her parakeet.
she's going to off that parakeet, man.
Right. It's like, yes, it's like she's going to kill the fucking bird. And then her car breaks down, and then they're like, come into this house. Ooh. And then there's, like, monsters.
Yeah. I dislike this writing. Like, this whole trailer sums up a very specific, like, how they've got us with, like, the mystery box.
It's literally a mystery box.
It's like,
it's
you have 5
box.
Seconds before the door is sealed. It's a resonant line about it. Something's out there. We don't know what, and it's fucking creepy, but you can't know everything now, but it's happening now, so it's urgent and exciting.
Yes.
Literally seeing the creature would solve all of these questions.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a wolfman or whatever it is.
Or knowing these movies, it's going to be a Cloverfield monster.
Right.
Like, I guarantee that old lady knows a lot of stuff and is not going to tell people. Like, it's just going to be weirdly cryptic for no reason, yeah. Right? It's funny. As a movie, I'm okay with all that. If this was a TV show, I'd be like, absolutely not.
Right.
I'm not watching
that
for a season.
You know they're going to answer everything that they wanted to answer by the end of the movie. Seriously. Yeah, like, right. I don't know if I'm ready to dive into another one of these.
Another one of these. Yeah. Like, you're right about, like, in TV does it, it's a little bit more inflammatory. But here's the thing. What's the mystery going to evolve into? It's going to evolve probably into an answer that is the premise of the movie. It's just a monster movie. There's a monster out there. Just go make a monster movie. I don't understand why we're like, oh, it's a mystery about who, you know, this guy's going to kill you. He's got fangs or whatever. Just do a monster.
Yeah. That's I wonder if it's going to be the reveal is going to be like, they're not on Earth anymore, or like, you
that's
know,
the
like
only thing, yeah.
There could be some reveals.
It's just
Tom, in the notes you said the village, and it's like, yeah, they could the village
they
it.
Could
it's
the
like
village
there's
it.
No monsters.
Yeah, they could the village it, but I think you're probably closer to right with the idea that they're not on Earth anymore. It reminds me of a very famous Twilight Zone episode that has a similar premise of like, I think it's pilots and they're in a very nice house and they slowly realize that it's an enclosure in a zoo.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we're getting a new scary movie, because the scary movie version, right, is they open the door and it's like gray aliens masturbating, just beating off through the window.
Oh, yeah.
Watching. That's what I want. That's what I want the reveal to be.
Yeah, that's definitely the robot
contact.
Chicken joke. Yeah, for sure.
First contact, just jerking each other
first
off.
First contact is a cum shot to the face.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Thanks,
but
aliens.
But honestly, like... My issue with these, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to eat this up.
Oh, yeah, for sure, Dave. We're probably going to cover this.
Yeah, I'm going to gobble this up. Give me it. I love it. But I like to going off of what you said, Abe, I just wish it was weirder. Because the mystery box, it's exactly what you're saying, where they're like, ooh, it's scary not to see them, right? But then it's eventually going to go, and here they are.
It's going to be a letdown. The sort of pulp vibe of it appeals to me.
Yeah, and it also could be like a sneaky good movie and bad trailer, and
so
we could be wrong about everything, you know?
That's why I want to watch Arcadian, the Nicolas Cage movie we covered, which has very good reviews, and I'm like, really? That's a... has bad audience reviews, so I don't know what that means. Has good critic reviews. Nicolas Cage, it was another one of these, where Nicolas Cage is raising boys, and then at night, they're just like creatures... Or something.
Yeah, they're trying to bust in.
He's raising boys.
He's raising
some boys. You know, he's a boy farmer. Boys.
It was there's the same bit outside. Of like, ooh, what does the creatures look like? Right. That thing. Judging by the audience reviews, I bet that movie never shows you or something like that.
Yeah, frustration.
But, that's all to say, yeah, maybe this is good. Maybe the apple falls a little farther from the tree.
Yeah.
Depending on the movie, I guess. I don't know.
I mean,
again, I'm still gonna watch
Shyamalan
the fuck out of this.
Shyamalan is a polarizing figure. He fucked up a lot, but he's still very good at making movies.
He's an excellent. Yeah.
I don't know how that relates to his daughter.
Right,
it's right.
Just nepotism to me. So hope you do well, and you know what you're doing, and you have your own career and all that. But like,
oh yeah,
it's such a weird thing to be like, Shyamalan Spawn.
Right, I think that's what it is. Shyamalan actually is weirder. Like, his movies are weird.
His movies are really strange. Yeah,
this
That's
movie
true.
Looks very straightforward. And I'm like, yeah, I hope it's just, like, something really fucking weird happens.
Right.
Because otherwise, I sort of know what this movie's going to be, right? It's, oh, we have to get out of here. Let's keep trying. And we keep failing. People die.
Right.
And then a reveal. And then you get out or you don't.
What I was saying is the pulp vibe of it. So even if it is just that, like, it is just that simple. As long as it's, like, a well-done version of that simple plot, like, I'll probably be fine with it.
Oh, yeah. Or a hilariously bad version. I'll take either.
Let's go.
There's so many ways it could turn out, man.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Speaking of things to be excited for, let's talk about The Exorcism. This movie, if you try to Google it, it's so hard because it's like, you mean The Exorcist? And you're like, no, The Exorcism, Russell Crowe. And they're like, you mean that?
The Pope's exorcist? No.
When he's at a Pope?
No.
Improbably, this is a different Exorcist movie he's making within the same 12-month period.
Yeah. and he's still Beefy Crow getting
he
all
is.
Demoned up.
Oh, man. He's a real slab in this. Real beefcake.
We literally, I think when we watched The Pope's Exorcist, it's like they heard us. I think we said in that, why do devils always want to possess like little kids?
Right.
No, it was when we talked about that new Exorcist movie,
right?
Believer, I think, or whatever.
Believer. Oh, yeah. Where it's like you should go into a grown man. That's terrifying.
Right.
And sure enough, Who more terrifying?
Russell Crowe is an excellent option.
Yeah,
if you're a demon,
I love the idea that like a demon movie where it's just like, well, I should choose the best one, right? LeBron James. Yeah. I'm in LeBron James now.
And then it's the government, like, no one can stop it. We're living in his world now. Powerful. He's just running around like the shark in Jaws, and you just have to watch
stabbed
out.
Stabbed a lady in the throat and dunked simultaneously.
That'd be such
a real menace. He's a real menace.
I just want to say this is a really good premise, and I think there's a better movie in the premise.
Right.
And that's all. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. It seems. Go ahead.
I was just going to say what the premise is.
Mm-hmm.
It's this often, you know, often fake, like exaggerated tale of like, do you know when they made The Exorcist, the set was cursed and somebody died and this happened. There's always this idea of a cursed movie, which is always kind of silly. But this is what if that's what's happening?
Yeah,
a horror movie where they're making a movie about the devil. And the devil is clearly like, did somebody call me?
Seriously.
You know, getting involved.
Hello, but, baby. Yeah.
But that...
The devil is just the big bopper. The
big bopper. Yeah.
Also,
why do you think that
movies.
Plane crashed?
Oh, shit.
Talking about his death. Why is it that we have a lot of movies right now where a demon enters, like... the space of like popular culture. Like we have that live show. What was that one called? Late Night with the Devil.
Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah.
Maxine is like, I guess that's not a
that's
demon.
A bit of a,
shit,
that's a different, that's not supernatural.
It's different, but it's like, we're like, ah, what if it's, you know, Hollywood?
I think,
something, something.
I think it's cyclical because we hit this in the 80s too. There's a lot of movies like this in the 80s.
Right.
And it's also like reminded me of a little bit of New Nightmare, which was 94. So I think it's just kind of like, we hit like the slasher renaissance with Scream, and then it kind of that went into like ebbed out when those became less popular, and now we're in like the elevated horror thing came, and
right.
I don't know. I think we're just like trying. People are just trying unique spins on horror because we're getting so much horror.
I think we're going to get a little, I don't know. I really liked that the first Omen had this little feeling of like, remember the 70s? And it's like, yeah, I do remember 70s horror, 70s and 80s. I just watched Immaculate.
And like how it's filmed, not just the way it looks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I just watched Immaculate, which is the exact same film as the first Omen, which is also weird that we're getting like these fucking like
duplicates.
Nun
movies, man. They greenlit a bunch of those.
Yeah, Nun
and
up.
It's like Nun and Demons, and like we're getting, you know, The Exorcist, where it's like possessed and it all feels derivative because it's all just doing what The Exorcist and The Omen did, right? And they made an Exorcist
nothing
and Omen,
new
so
under
there's
the sun, right?
Things I mean, swimming, yeah.
That's fine. This is storytelling 101, right?
Yeah, I will say people should watch the first Omen. I think it's I only comparing the two because they're so similar. I liked it more than Immaculate, but I also really liked a lot of Immaculate. It's weird because I want to take both films and like snip them apart and paste them together. Because funny enough, like the things in Immaculate that I was like, that's really cool, were like the exact things in First Omen where I was like, I wish you didn't do that.
Right. Oh, like, interesting.
Yeah, like the ending of Immaculate, I really liked, whereas the ending of The Omen, I was like, eh. Like, it's just, I don't know. It was interesting.
Niles is in this.
Niles is in this.
Frasier's brother, Niles.
An agent, a wizened Niles.
Who's
so, like,
an actual priest? Wait, question. Crow is playing a priest. He's an actor, right?
He's an actor. He's playing a Russell Crowe type.
Yeah. Because I totally believe that they would have created a world where it's like, yeah, he's like a famous priest who's been
right.
in movies.
You know,
he's
so
also the Pope.
You know, like one of those famous priests.
Yeah.
They get trading cards, you know.
And this is just this is just a possession movie, right? He bends backwards, which is amazing to see Russell Crowe do.
Yeah,
I know it's
that
CGI.
Bummed me out when I saw that, I was like, oh, like.
But that's what I'm saying, too, is like. So a cursed movie set, I want like Final Destination. Like I want like, Oh, little things, little subtle
or
things
something
happen.
Spookier than that.
It looks creepier.
Like they do a little of that. Like, yeah, let's off some crew members, some red shirts. Let's get it done. I think
once,
they might do some stuff because, like, it looks like a grip falls from like the second story of the set they have, and like,
yeah.
So you're like, what is that? They might.
But
do
once,
it.
I don't know. Once Russell Crowe is possessed and running around, that might as well be Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
like that's
exactly.
Just like. That's like there is a monster.
Just alien
the rhino
in
got
the floorboards.
Yeah. I want more. Yeah, I want more like
scuttling.
Hereditary.
Russell Crowe is scuttling.
Yeah.
Scuttling. Ah. I also love that the way that, you know, because trailers all have a form. They need to get out like, you know, like, hey, he's getting possessed or someone thinks that, like, because there's like a young lady who we kind of see everything through, who I assume is his co-star. And like she's narrating over the trailer and explaining that something's wrong with Russell Crowe. And the line is, he's off his meds. He's erratic. I just laughed to myself because I'm like, that's just Thursday for Russell yeah. Crowe.
This is Russell Crowe being
didn't
Russell Crowe.
Yeah. His blood pressure meds.
I'm so excited for this movie.
Yeah. I'm the exorcism.
I'm still bummed because
it doesn't.
Sorry.
I was just gonna probably say something very similar. Is I really love the premise, a haunted, a cursed movie set, but this movie does not look very good to me. I'm
it
still
doesn't.
Going to watch it.
I want to take this movie and make two movies. I want to make like a subtle, like, you know, The Witch or Hereditary or Final Destination isn't subtle, but you know what I mean, like like a more. A more creepy horror movie, supernatural, where the devil's hand is very like slight. I want that movie, and then I want a separate movie where it's just, what do we do about
Russell Crowe? Yeah,
he is possessed by the devil.
He's running
around.
We can't stop him.
That could be the title of several of Russell Crowe's films.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What are we going to do about Russell Crowe?
I want like Train to Busan with the zombies, the Korean film with just
but it's just
zombies
Russell Crowe.
Are coming through the train. It's just Russell Crowe.
I'm
throwing people over seats. ripping the seats up. Just throwing those.
Yeah.
Slashing throats, biting throats.
Just biting? Punching?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Headbutt.
Like, don't give him a
He's
phone.
He's going to headbutt his way entirely through one of the cars. Just headbutts.
Oh, yeah. All headbutts. Oh, man. Final thing is that this is directed by the child in Near Dark, who is also Tom Atkins' kid in Halloween 3.
Oh, hell yeah.
He was also in Class of 1999. Take that information, do whatever you will with it.
Sure.
It's a child actor
Fantastic.
Who was in it's basically a child actor that they are like, we feel fine throwing him into the most messed up movies we can. It's fine. Should we talk about Atlas?
I guess so.
So this is just like a eugenics war. There's a line about the genetically advanced battling the norm. The normies.
Yeah, they. What is the name they give them? I heard harlots. I was like, we have to get the harlots.
That can't be it.
And I'm like, that can't be it.
Yeah.
It's something that sounds like that. This is so. It's Jennifer Lopez in a mech suit, having what appears to be no difficulties, like a minor difficulties, but the. I couldn't the badass shot the trailer always ends with like that one last shot to show like action.
Yeah.
And in this it was her in the mech suit just throwing people around.
Yeah.
Because
really fucking people up.
They put her in a mech suit. She's not fighting other mech suits. It's just her in a mech suit, like Russell Crowe on a movie set, just mowing people down. And I was like, where's the conflict in
also,
that?
Also, a key part of this premise is that the whole movie seems to be like the robot has a mind of its own. Its AI is like, won't let her out of the suit. So
yes.
It's like, what if Siri was a tank that wouldn't let you out, you know? And they should have another person who won't be let out of their mech suit and they're fighting. They're like, why is any of this happening?
That would be great. Yes, like make her not want to do the
just
stuff.
The robots want to watch them fight.
Yeah.
Just like, yes.
Which
yes.
one of us is best?
They're like grappling and talking to each other through the robots. Like, I have no problem with you. I don't have any problem with you. I don't know who you are.
Right.
No,
I
but
mean,
they they show that whole arc in here where she's like mad at him, shuts him off, and then turns him back on and learns to accept him.
Yeah, and they kick ass, like, and it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet, dude. I don't know.
I also love that the implication is there's a eugenics war and something that made the world uninhabitable.
Yes.
You know, like.
It's like the big so Star Trek. Just, that's World War III in Star Trek, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah. I think they're going to just yada yada, like what happened, you know, the darkest day of humanity. Something happened, a bomb or something.
You this know, is like a bug or a virus or some shit.
A bug. Yeah.
Oh no, the sun blew up. Fuck, who cares?
Blew up,
yeah, shut up.
There's no more air.
This is, I hate to feel so cynical, but this I feel like is a very cynical Netflix process, right? Where you kind of can imagine how this got made, which is like someone pitched the idea in a meeting, had a good meeting. Netflix said, all right, let's do it. I'm looking. One of the writers seems to have done a lot of like Netflixy stuff, and it's just they work within the system. And then they said, okay, write it. We'll find an actor to give it to. Right? Like, who wants this? Who wants this mech suit?
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me, Tom. You wrote the Tomorrow War in here.
Yeah.
Like it has all those vibes. It's like this is a very generic action sci-fi. It'll make, if we make it for this much money, it'll make this much money. We'll just give it to somebody who we have like a contract with. Here, you take it. Let's make this thing. All you have to do is stand on this green screen for like 2 weeks. And we got you, and we'll just CGI most of it. And we're good.
It's
like,
so
that's what it feels like.
The J-Lo is just like, yes.
Yeah. And
hell
yeah,
yes.
They got J-Lo, and they're like, yeah, J-Lo's somebody. Let's give it to J-Lo.
Yeah, fuck it. It's J-Lo.
The fucking logo looks like a 90s sci-fi show.
The Tomorrow War, the Adam Project, Red. This is all of those movies.
It's from the director of San Andreas.
I forget their name, but
yeah, and like
that movie's all right.
They make all right movies. They made Rampage.
Yeah, that movie's all right.
Yeah,
it's all right.
This will probably be all
Skyscraper.
I don't think they did Skyscraper.
Seems like they did.
I think you're wrong, Dave. I think they did. It feels so bland, you know?
Yeah. I don't think they did Skyscraper. I'm not seeing Skyscraper.
Seems like your reality is wrong.
I'm looking up Skyscraper. But yeah, I don't know. I think this is also a final remnant. No, not the same person. This is a final remnant of, why superhero movies got dull, which it doesn't feel like she's in any danger at any second of this trailer.
That's,
and it's like, why do we want to watch someone in a mech suit just bulldoze people?
That was
like, why would we want to watch that?
That was the scene with the Tomorrow War. I remember, I wrote something, for Collider about this because it really struck me because I saw the Tomorrow War and the Green Knight pretty much back to back, and one of those movies is about an impossible Boy Scout who never does anything wrong and saves the day every time, and the other one is about a hero who's constantly fucking up, falling short and questioning what it means to be a hero. And it's like, wow, one of those movies was way more interesting and memorable, and it was the Green Knight. Like, so many movies do this now, like that Infinity, the Mark Wahlberg one, like where they have this main character that's just an everyman, but also a brilliant physicist, but also a Navy SEAL warrior. Yeah, it's just there's never any conflict. Like, nobody ever even really disagrees with them. It's just, I'm putting a lot on this, but because of the trailer, but man, I've seen a lot of these movies and a lot of them are released directly to streamers right now.
Yeah. And they pass right through you. The Tomorrow War. I remember having a huge dumb plot hole. I remember being so generic and like, whatever. I just looked at the Tomorrow War to see who made it. And I am shocked. I'm going to have to rewatch this movie because I did not know that Sam Richardson is in it as a major character.
Oh, yes.
Sam Duvay himself.
Uh-huh.
I need to rewatch it just for that. That's wild to me.
Yeah. He's like the comic relief.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I wish he was like the villain. But yeah.
That would be amazing.
But yeah, it's all like Tomorrow War. I'm pretty sure there's like generic aliens, right?
It's aliens, yeah.
There's always like, here's a generic alien. Mm-hmm. It's always a monster. It doesn't look like it can invade anything. Yeah, I don't know, man.
We can move on.
Yeah. Let's talk about Back to Black.
Yeah, Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse, yes.
Biopic? Biopic? I don't know. I think I'm always going to say biopic.
Yeah, I don't. It scans.
Probably doesn't matter.
anyway. I thought they got an impressive actor, which is all of this type of thing. I don't really care for biopics, but it's tough to. Hey, you look like Amy Winehouse. Also, you are good. It seems you have star power. Marissa Bella, I think, is her name.
It's an actress I'm not familiar with. Yeah,
I'm not familiar, but very good. I'm sure. Gonna launch their career.
Yeah. It looks really good. I mean, I wrote in the notes that I didn't realize she was British. So like that shows how little I know about this person, about this performer. I mean, apparently she was in Barbie, this actress. This is from the director, by the way, of 50 Shades of Grey and A Million Little Pieces.
Sweet.
So that's all to say, like, I hope they get a win with this one, because I don't think that speaks to their directing style necessarily, right?
It speaks to their studio. They've convinced studios that they're the right person for the job, which is a skill set entirely on its own. There's just, you know, its trailer has little things that pop up that say incredibly powerful and beautiful and stuff like that. And it's one of those movies.
It is, but I don't know. I kind of am a little bit of a sucker for biopics, not a total sucker.
Hell yeah.
I know they're artificial, but like October Sky is an incredible movie.
Oh yeah. Right. I fuck with for sure.
And then there's just like a notable figure like this, or like the Bob Marley movie that recently came out, where it's about an artist that I don't really know that much about. So I don't know. It's just like it's like scanning the Wikipedia of a person, but in like theater form. They're going to hand out Wikipedia for me.
We've talked about this. Oh, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say it's tough because I have like a reaction to these types of movies, especially with musicians, only because of Walk Hard. Like, that ended the genre for me. I was like, that was so good that we should just never do that type of movie again. But
they do.
That's a silly thing to think.
Well, no,
I don't think so, because they do all do that. Yeah, sorry, Dave.
Oh, no, it reminds me of like when South Park pointed out that every Family Guy joke was like, they do this plus this. And then you can't unsee it. And then you're like, wow, well, this doesn't work anymore for me. It's that. Where it's like they just say every biopic does this, and you're like, oh yeah, they do.
Certainly every music
one does.
Now
I can't unsee it.
Yeah, certainly every music one does. I think musicians just, I don't know. This is a completely baseless statement from out of nowhere. Maybe musicians just they seem to be more prone to that thing that based on a true story movies tend to do, where they rearrange events. Just, you know, to add drama and make it seem more like a story, but life does not follow a story structure. Like it rarely is a neat tale from beginning to end. Yeah.
It's so I'm not like a music pervert. And so like the thing with biopics is that like most of the time they start, right. We talked about this with, we're going to make this biopic. Is their life interesting? Doesn't matter. We're going to make a biopic about them. And so many of these trailers, like in this trailer, it's like, yeah, there she is singing. Yeah, there she is saying, like, I'm going to be a star. Yep, there she is being famous.
There's always a scene where they're running down the middle of a busy street.
Right. And so, like they're making that Bob Dylan biopic.
Yeah, they are.
Timotei.
Yeah. Timotei is making it. Timothy Chalamet.
Every single one, I'm like, unless something interesting actually happened, I don't care. Because it doesn't, it's like, yep, that's what I expected. I don't need to see the movie now. It has to be a movie like Sid and Nancy, where you're like, well, I know how that's going to end. Going to have to see that. You know, where it's like, it has to be either a story that's infamous Or the trailer needs to show you, like, you need to watch the trailer and go, wow, I didn't realize their life was like that. Yeah, I'm going to have to see it.
I don't like it because I know how it's going to end. Yeah. Like, yeah. Spoilers, she dies.
She dies. That's the only thing I know about her. And so, like, that's what I mean is, like, if this trailer had her, like, fighting in the army, I'd be like, wait, what?
What?
Oh, yeah. Shit. Awesome. Like, I need to see this. But it's fucking like, yeah, it's, it
Dave's
looks like
a
like
word?
It's,
yeah, it, let's go.
The only trailer I can think of.
Kick. Now we're talking.
Yeah,
she's in a mech suit.
Yeah, they put her in the
mech
suit.
Oh my god, she was in a fucking mech
suit. I mean, J Lo.
Try to make me go to rehab.
Singer songwriter J Lo.
But the, you know what I mean, right? Is the only way they can. It has to be something. If I'm not into the person, they need to tell me. The only time a trailer that didn't show anything did work was 8 Mile, which I know isn't a biopic. But do you remember how hard that trailer went?
Well, yeah. It was also because they released Lose Yourself was a simultaneous release, if I recall. And that song is fire. So
yeah,
it's like everyone immediately was like, oh, shit. The new shit just dropped.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's a movie now?
Yeah, it's an all-timer. But it did eclipse the movie.
Yeah,
that trailer was so fucking good. And all it's showing is this dirtbag getting his ass kicked mostly. Yeah. But that was compelling to keep seeing, like, Eminem biopic in which he just kind of loses a lot. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. Shit. Yeah. Like, but yeah, for the most part, I need.
It's depicting an actual struggle, which isn't always present in everyone's life in a way that is cinematic.
Yeah, it's always, I'm going to be a star. And it's like, I know you're going to be a star because they made,
right, they made a movie about you.
Yeah. Right.
This is not,
right. I wonder how they're going to do, like, the drugs and stuff. Because the legacy is always on the top of the mind of anyone who makes these kind of projects.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's tough with someone who's like a figure like this, you know?
A tragic character, right?
A tragic character. Yeah, exactly. That's why I think we haven't seen that movie yet. Because he was so big.
I like to think also, like, someone's holding the dogs. They're, like, holding back the... Like, there's someone who has the fucking rights to Kurt Cobain's life who's, like,
he's
absolutely
just waiting.
Not.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's just someone who has to die for us to get a Kurt Cobain biopic.
Yeah,
it's like
it's
like
Dave
having
Grohl,
a cut.
Actually.
Yeah.
We have to kill
it's
Dave
definitely
Grohl.
Not Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
Like, Lords of Chaos, that's another one.
That's
where
an
you're
excellent
like, yeah.
movie, yeah.
Yeah, because that one has a fucking story to tell, and it's a brutal fucking story, yeah.
Hell yes.
Speaking of stories to tell and real-life situations, this next trailer is for The Big Cigar, and it appears to be based off a true story of a fake movie set using the Black Panthers to do stuff?
They're sneaking Huey P. Newton to Cuba, I think?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's straight up Argo, like you said in the thing.
So it's like an FBI involvement. Yeah, an Argo on Apple TV Plus.
It's a show. It's a series.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be intrigue in the Black Panthers, basically.
Yeah. Remember that? The Black Messiah? Judas and the Black.
Yes,
that was so good. That was so fucking good. This is like, I don't know, stories around Black Panther seems like an untapped kind of story.
Yeah.
I was saying it's weird. Like, it's weird to, that's the thing about true stories, right? It's weird to take real tragedy and real struggle and, like, make it a Hollywood thing, which this almost seems like it could be a meta commentary on, because it's basically using these people through movie making to get something done. And I don't know. I think it would be cool if they actually explore that. I don't know if they will.
Yeah. And since HBO is gone now, kind of, I think Apple TV is the one seed in the current streaming battles. They've had a lot of different shows that are actually quite good. I think Apple TV is the one that we can trust right now in the current market.
That's the one we were talking about an episode or two ago where it was like, yeah, that's the one that has all the really great shows that I keep meaning to watch.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah.
Like For All Mankind and Dickinson and Ted Lasso and now this.
All those.
And Monarch, I guess.
Foundation, dude. Foundation. Rips.
Foundation, yeah.
So
people have been talking up Foundation to me, which I wasn't impressed that much with the trailer when we covered it, but
good.
I'll give it a shot.
It's good.
I like me some science fiction. You like and some foundations.
Yeah.
But this looks fun. The fact that it's a TV show is one of those things where I'm like, damn, if this was a movie, I could watch it and, you know, then
yeah,
I'd have
it. Don't love that it's a TV show, because that means they're going to just draw it out, especially because it's based off real life. They're only probably have a few things they can do. Like, there was one or two ideas in the room when they were like, we should cover Huey Newton. These are the big ticket moments. So that's your end of act. That's your end of season one. That's your end of season two. But most shows don't live long anymore. So it's, I guess, less of a problem than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it's like 6 episodes at the most, right?
Well, if it's a miniseries, then I'm all about limited series right now. They got that Shogun just finished. You know,
I'm behind on Shogun too, but yeah, it is 6 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, limited. Then that's excellent. That's like a long movie. So
this, not bad. I don't believe was mentioned in the trailer. Apparently, at least the first 2 episodes are directed by Don Cheadle.
Oh, shit. Oh. Cheadle.
The Cheed.
Love the Cheed.
Hey, he's great.
Cheed going. Yeah.
Should we keep going?
I think so, yeah.
Interesting directing. Blink Twice, directed by fucking Zoe Kravitz. Fucking Angel from X-Men First Class, you know? Most famous comic book role.
Yeah, Lenny Kravitz.
That's her most famous role.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. She was in...
No, she's been playing. She's in Mad Max. She did the High Fidelity remake.
I was poking fun at Divergent.
She was in Divergent, I think. I want to say one of the young adult movies. She's in one of them.
Wrote and directed. And this is an all-star cast. It's got the Taters. It's got fucking Kyle MacLachlan, recent Some More News guest. Kyle MacLachlan, or Even More News guest. fucking Maybe's there.
Yeah, Maybe's there.
Maybe
gets development. Disappears. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Haley Joel's there. Gina Davis is in this. Christian Slater's in this. Jesus fucking Christ.
Just all the star power for
it's
the Kravitz.
About a waitress who gets like roped into a billionaire's island. The billionaire is named Slater King, which I don't know. Think of a different name. But sorry, it's just that's such a fictional name. That's like, oh, that's a fake name. You made up that name. Played by the Taters.
Who's
and,
probably, I'm going to guess, dead within 30 minutes of the movie.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's the question, is like, what is happening? It seems like people are disappearing and not being remembered.
Yeah, they're showing up with injuries or things missing, stuff scattered, and they don't remember what happens. Like, something's off with the island.
It's the beach that makes you forget.
Yeah, man.
I thought the idea was that Channing Tatum will be like the only...
A wizard?
Yeah, like something like that. Like, he's the one running it, and everything else is just either fake or...
Well, I mean,
sorry, just real quick. The beach that makes you forget would still technically be the beach that makes you old.
That's true.
Sorry, continue.
No. She dreams a knife into existence. Like, she is...
Yeah.
Something's going on that, like, her relationship with reality... So that's, you know, it's a mind trip movie, obviously. So they let loose in the trailer that she might be imagining a lot of this experience. So it's probably going to be one of those that they flirt with that. It's probably not Shutter Island, you know?
Yeah, probably not.
She's probably part of the murder, is my guess. But we can have like a Ready or Not kind of thing. This feels like Knives Out, Triangle Sadness, Let's Deconstruct the Rich, which is fine. That's good. You know, but it's just like, oh, look, it's Elon Musk.
I hate the premise, though. I do like the premise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm excited for this. I think
this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
definitely. I want to watch this one for sure.
I think it feels a little Shyamalan, where it's just a fucking, it's just madness in a fun way, where it's just like, it looks weird. And I'm appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it shows you a lot, but yet it also felt like I didn't know anything by the end. I think it's going to be a little cheeky. I think it's going to be,
It would be great.
No, it looks great.
If she used her dad's music, like, I want to fly away. You know, just
he just shows up.
He just shows up and he's just like, I'm trying to
as
get
he
like,
shows
where up. Going.
Yeah, just
here's
really
Lenny Kravitz.
Non-committal.
The new album.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I got nothing else to say about this, which is all to say that I really want to see it.
This is genuinely probably the movie I'm most looking forward to watching off of this list.
It might not even be the best movie. It's just the one that I'm like...
It hooked you.
It looks like the most fun.
Yeah. I'm really into this.
Yeah. We should talk about What You Wish For.
Chef
this
Heist.
This is Nick Stahl.
Yeah.
I just want to know...
Heist.
Yeah.
Chef Heist.
I want to note the director of this did The Perfect Host. Remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. That was an all right movie.
And
with,
that's
also
about...
With
isn't
Niles.
That about... Right. And isn't that about like a fancy... Like a host thing, like a
what it
like
is. It's a burglar played by the guy who was on Lethal Weapon as Riggs. Breaks into Niles's house and then only to find out that Niles is some sort of deranged madman that holds him hostage and forces him to be a guest of his at this dinner.
I can't help but notice that this feels similar, right? Because this is Nick Stahl. It looks like he's a down on his luck chef. He's working for another better chef who hangs himself.
Hangs himself while
and
he's
then,
at the guy's house. Yeah.
Hangs. Right. Yeah. What a weird place to hang yourself, but okay. And then he assumes the position, the identity of that. He, Mr. Ripley's
yeah, Mr.
like,
Ripley's the shit out of him.
That chef. And then you're like, okay, you're like trying to get a handle of this trailer. And then it looks like he's also asked more than he bargained for because the hosts are also murderers. They're
crime.
Like, this better be your best meal or we'll kill you.
Yeah. It's like a crime family. Yeah.
Right. It's like a weird elaborate. Yeah. What? It's all to say it's a movie occupied completely by like aliens, by people who don't act like humans. Everybody's acting like a fucking weirdo. And I love it.
So good if it was just the cast from The Bear.
Yeah,
they're just
oh
like,
my god,
make me an omelet, or else.
It reminds me of the increasingly poor decisions of Todd Margaret, where it's like all these weird lies and like, it's just I'm into it. It's just
what a weird premise. Mm. It is. It could have stopped with him just trying to assume the famous chef's life, and I'd be like, I would have watched that movie probably.
Yeah,
I thought the original premise
Ratatouille it his way out of the problem or something. You know,
it appears like he's an actual chef, but
yeah,
I think he is. Yeah,
I thought I guess I wasn't paying close attention. I thought he was the main chef, and the guy who died was the homeowner. So I thought what he was originally doing is taking the identity of the rich guy. Which makes more sense, right? Which is like, but to take the identity of just like a chef, a slightly good chef who's also at this party serving, I was like, what a weird thing to do.
He just wants to get out of his life, man. Like, yeah, it has nothing. He'll take anything.
Have you seen Nick Stahl?
Yeah.
Dude, the one thing I wrote
John
down
Connor.
About this trailer is that the Hawaiian shirts are on magnificent display in this trailer.
Yeah.
Everyone gets one. Let's bring it back, baby. Fuck it. Let's go hookah shells. Let's get
it
going.
Oh, we do it. We're bringing back the puka shells. Oh man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Puka shells.
I'm just like, I can't wait to watch this movie. It just feels like such a fucking mess, and I'm so into it.
I'm so into it. Yeah. I'm just when the mob showed up, I was like, oh boy.
Oh boy.
I hope it ends
Stahl
with the mobsters.
Is in trouble.
What's he gonna do? What kind of fish is he gonna cook to save his life?
I hope it is like it ends with like a competition. Like
Gordon
Ramsay walks out.
I want it to end with the mobsters being like, I gotta level with you. I stole the identity of the mobster.
They're all like
no
fake
one's
mobsters.
Actually
yeah,
who
nobody
they are.
Is who they are.
Yeah. Fuck yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, identity. Films that are just, like, usurping an identity totally work. It's just, like, I don't know. It feels like this is hat on a hat a little bit.
Yes, it's, like, so many hats on
it. It feels like a hat rack.
It's a chef hat on top of a normal hat on top of a chef hat.
It's funny you kept saying the word identity, and this movie reminds me of Identity in the sense it's like a perfectly serviceable premise that has an inexplicable additional layer to it.
Exactly. It's just like also it's everybody. 2004 it was
2003 I think.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Man, what a picture.
What a picture.
Speaking of 2004 movies, I want to get us to this next one, our final trailer, because I am so excited about Backspot. Backspot.
Yeah.
Elliot Page is he's apparently
an exec
not
producer,
a producer. But this is about the cutthroat world of cheerleading.
Competitive cheering.
I couldn't stop thinking about You Got Served or Drumline, where it's like, this is it. This is life. And it's devoted to something that is a hobby at best.
I was going to say, to a lesser degree, duets.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, I'm not saying there aren't professional cheerleaders. I'm just saying that that's not like, it's not do or die, right? And I just, because it also is, right? Like, that's what Whiplash is about, right? Where it's like,
for some people, it's the most important thing in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. And for Drumline, it's like, for some people, that was the most important thing.
Drums so good. Yeah.
And so I just love these movies where it's like, here's something you do not care about, and we're going to tell you about the cutthroat competitive world.
You're going to watch people scream at each other about it.
About
Evan
flips.
Rachel Wood.
Evan Rachel Wood playing a grizzled ass fucking
She's
cheer
J.K.
coach.
Simmons.
Ex-flipper.
She is J.K. Simmons. Yes.
She's J.K. I want her to have just all the same lines as
Not
J.K.
My
Simmons.
Fucking tempo, ladies. And it's like a championship sports movie, which is why I love this. And they also bring up, because I think that cheerleading has a particular zeitgeisty aspect to it, because it's commonly kind of bashed because it's not a, quote, real sport. And I like that this movie is essentially deconstructing that. It's a legit sport. It's hard to do. You're literally doing gym. You're a gymnast. You know, how is gym, you know... Get Simone Biles in this shit, you know?
Certainly not something I could do. If I cheerleaded, it would kill me.
I would fall.
I could do it from like
on
a,
my neck.
You know, like a lawn chair.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Just
like they're throwing
the big,
me around in a lawn chair.
That I just shout through.
Like,
that'd
yeah,
be my
do
job.
Flips. If I could do flips in real life, I would be constantly flipping like these
I'd flip everywhere.
People. Yeah,
if
it's
you,
fucking
if
awesome.
You,
I'd flip
if
down you, the hall. I'd flip through my house, just down to the kitchen to get something to drink.
Through my house.
Yeah,
flip around your kid.
Fucking cartwheel into the laundry room.
If you held me upside down for 15 seconds, then I would die.
You would die.
I would die.
You'd burst.
Die.
Your brain would burst.
Like a fish or something. You're just dead.
You just start gargling your own spit.
Yeah.
And
so
puke it out and then die.
Die horribly. Yes.
Just like, fuck.
Crap, don't do that to the next one, I guess.
Yeah.
Shit. I guess you can't spin them.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to watch Backspot.
Yeah, it's going to
be
good.
It's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Mighty Ducks or Major League. It's going to be about individual and team excellence in the end. It's definitely got like a friendship/lover arc going on. You know, make it entertaining and... quiet all the internet comment fuckwits, you know?
No, I'm just... This is one of those things that came out mid-2000s that these low stakes, like, these funny, fun, like, little sports movies. I feel like we haven't had sports movies in a little bit.
Dude,
and I'm not a huge sports movie person.
I love
person.
Sports movies.
Yeah,
by the way,
like,
if you have a Netflix, go and watch Adam Sandler and Hustle. I've been talking that movie up all the time. That's a good movie.
All right. I will.
And hopefully this. Hopefully Backspot.
Shall we thank some more producers?
Man, I can't wait to, Dave.
All right, let's do it. Big old thank you to David Knife
Boot
Henson.
Thank you.
Thank you to Deborah is awesome. Barbara is great. And Cancer Can Go to Hell.
Thank you
to Dracula the Bus Driving Vampire.
Thank you.
Thank you to Driftless God Emperor of Hype. Thanks you for watching Lair of the White Worm.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. Thank you to Ed Naga.
Thank you.
Thank you to Exploding Runes.
Thanks so much.
Thank you to Funky G. Mostly comes out at night. Mostly.
Thanks.
Thank you to Heathcliff's Helping Handful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Highlander, Likes the Way Tom Says Pretty Sweet.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you to Hombre. Sweet.
Thank you.
Thank you to ImpossibleWorlds.net. Issue 3 is out now. Gorge yourself on our fiction. Gorge.
George. All right, let me jump in here. Thank you to Jay the Crow Baron says, Build a guillotine in rich people's yard, 2024.
Thank you.
Thank you to Chris Shanovich.
Thank you.
Thank you to Lieutenant Frank Drebin, Police Squad.
Thank you.
Thank you to Look Mime on a podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mackenzie Fuck Shuffling with Willem Dafoe's Confusingly Large Dick Chill.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mercurial Oz.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mike the Hell Diver.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mongolian Throat Skanking.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mr. Tell Your Wife How Many Patreon Subscriptions You Have Before You Agree to Buy a House.
Thank you.
And thank you to musical guest Darius Rucker.
Thank you.
Sweet.
I guess the last guy was, what was the last guy?
I forget. It was Ritchie? Something different last week.
Apparently that is, let me make sure because they told me. Apparently it's the real name. No, it was Henry Garfield, which is the real name of Henry Rollins.
Oh, yeah, I totally missed that.
No, me too. Why would we know that?
Would I know Henry Rollins' real name?
Yeah. So we got some news stories. These are all very compelling. we're going to have to blast through these. Because apparently Netflix passed on a Knight's Tale sequel. And I put this in specifically because I knew you were here, Abe, as our guest.
I have no room for intellectual debate. Netflix fucked up. They made a terrible decision, and people should all feel terrible.
We should.
Yeah.
I do.
We need a sequel. We need more Knight's Tale. That's all.
It's criminal that we aren't on part 16 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ultimately, I think this news story is kind of pointless.
It is.
Like, I mean, Brian Hedgeland,
who's a competent fine director of Knight's Tale, is making a big deal about not getting another shot. I get it, dude. You made a fantastic movie. We shouldn't really be reporting, I guess, on the prospects of a shine in the pan that is A Knight's Tale. He tried a few other films. It didn't really stick. That's what's going on. I mean, like, it's... I would also be... If I made a great movie and I was didn't get my... I didn't feel like I had a career anymore, I'd probably be, you know...
Yeah,
making
I'm tilt
sounds.
About it.
Yeah.
This, so the premise of this sequel...
Oh, yeah, I read it.
...involves them getting taken at prisoner, and there's a prisoner on the boat who has a treasure map on their back, and they keep getting flogged for fucking up. So they're like, a bad, they, like, suck, and the other characters so volunteer to take turns getting flogged in their place so the map isn't erased. That's just, I don't know, there's something very funny
it's
about
like
no,
Waterworld.
I like that
kind
bit.
Of. It's yeah. a pirate film. That is yeah. so fucking good. I love it. And also, maybe Bettany and Tudyk are returning.
I was going to say, there's still time to make one, right?
Yeah.
It could still happen. They also Start talk about movement. Doing one where Bettany and Alan Tudyk train Heath Ledger's daughter to be a knight, but disguising the fact that she's a girl. So they're right. still like the same sort of disguising the identity.
mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. Make all of them. Make
Do
all
it,
of them.
Just Netflix. Have
a, fucking buy the rights to Queen. Just
yeah.
play Queen songs.
yep.
More
Nothing
like
Barcore, dude. It's
more like
awesome.
Net Finks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice. Isn't it more like Net Finks?
It's more like that.
It is.
Someone
more
should
like
let that. Horses into their office to show, to symbolize their displeasure.
That's how you disrupt. That's how you disrupt them.
Disrupt the Netflix space, everyone. Bring your horse to Netflix office.
Yep.
This is a hashtag, call to action.
Hashtag bring your horse to Netflix office.
Bring your
office.
Horse to work day.
Yeah. Speaking of horses, the cast of the Blair Witch Project, they would apparently, and this is no surprise, they ain't getting no residuals. And maybe they should get them because... Considering that it is true, like they put out a thing being like, hey, we need money and like you owe us so much money. And like, I get it because like they often use their like fake missing posters in the sequels and shit. Right. Like that new Blair Witch. Remember the one that like it's her brother going to find her.
Right. And he's running and around like, in the movie screaming this real person's name.
Yeah. And so they're rebooting it and they're like, now's a good time to mention we haven't gotten shit. and maybe you owe us a lot of money.
Yeah.
And
it's because they weren't in the Actors Guild when they weren't guild members when they made the movie.
Yeah, I mean, for all you young people out there, it was pretty well known at the time, but go look at how they made that movie, and you're like, man, they didn't even, I doubt they got paid much money. It was made for $30,000.
Yeah.
So it's like, they didn't get much money to be in the movie. There's a reason.
And they're also the crew?
Yeah, and they're also the crew.
I mean, like, it's obviously, it sounds terrible. They should just pay them to avoid, nonsense. That would be a great answer. But it's from a time that was the practice and that was the reality. I don't know what to say because retroactive shit can get really dangerous really fast. Like, should some more news, the show that Dave, you write for, dish out money to Cracked? Because Cody News Show was technically Cracked IP. You know, it's like you can't retroactively do stuff just because it's like,
but
oh, it's very familiar.
But the name is different, Abe.
But the name is different. Yeah, obviously.
We changed everything slightly.
We hope the world operates in a way that creatives are always recognized for their specific contributions. That would be nice.
I know what you mean. Like, also, I'm sure the directors didn't get much either, right?
We don't know.
It's frustrating because it does feel like, Tom, you pointed out they're also the crew. They basically put these three people in the woods, made them make the movie.
Right.
Like, make the entire movie themselves. And then they said, cool, we'll take the footage. And then made hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And then they're like, here's your $5,000. Thanks.
Exactly.
Well, that's not right.
That doesn't feel right. It's terrible and dog-eat-dog.
They should have made the money off the movie to begin with. And
right.
I think that's what's trying to be rectified, right?
I think that there probably should be some kind of settlement because it doesn't sound like there's a crime here, it seems.
No.
And it's
definitely not
doing some fueling out internet outrage, and that, you know, court of public opinion matters. So pay them some stuff, and it's probably for the best.
I know what you mean where it's like a good comparison actually with Some More News. I think I created the Wormcomer dog, and we made a shirt for the Wormcomer. And let's pretend we live in a world where that shirt made them millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
And I was like, hey, I thought up that was my creation, the Wormcomer.
Right.
Technically they had paid me
ownership
to write for them. Right. So I understand that legality, which is unless you make that deal and say, I also want producer credit. I've done contracts where you get sequel stuff, you get back end stuff. And unless you do that at the time, if you're just hungry and you're like, I'll do whatever you fucking say. I just, Napoleon Dynamite, that was another case where he made you want
shirts,
the exposure, et cetera. But this is, I think, a case where I feel like whether or not the director's
if
meant to do it ended up being kind of a con on them.
It kind of that's how it was made. And especially if they're using the likeness or poster and stuff like that, they can't. That seems like there might actually be some legal standing here. And that should be pointed out and rectified, because you're using people's work and not paying them for it.
Yeah. I'm coughing.
I'm
coughing, everybody.
It's the Blair Witch, Dave.
The Blair Witch got me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hard agree. It's case by case. And in this case, if I were these people, I would feel exploited.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would feel like you built an entire franchise off of that shot of my face. Who thought of that shot? Was it the actress? Did the actress say, hey, you wouldn't be cool if I did this? So much of it was improvised.
Right.
That it's just it's not enough to give them just an acting credit for that movie.
It's but then there's also the argument of, well, it was a found footage movie, though. The whole concept, it could have been anyone. The whole concept that made it, go gangbusters was that it was found footage. I the director, I the writer, I'm the guy who did that. I'm the worm jizz guy or whatever you said.
Yeah. I love the idea of them going to the directors, we want residuals, and they're like, why? "You've died, didn't you?"
Yeah, you did.
You're
trying to Jedi mind trick.
Yeah,
just turn her.
You
turn
don't want
into
something bad to happen to you. No, no one will care if something bad happens to
I'm
you.
I'm a witch.
That's usually how I end my negotiations.
Yeah,
is I'll just scream that I'm a witch and jump out the window.
Yeah,
it's a real power move.
Binding.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty sweet.
I want to talk about the best film ever made. We were talking about exorcism films, and it turns out that there is an exorcism film coming out starring Al Pacino and Dan Stevens playing rival exorcists who have to team up, or rival priests who have to team up to perform an exorcism. And
hell,
I don't know. That's got to be the best
movie. I need more movies
movie.
About rival priests.
Rival priests is so good.
That's got to be the best movie, right?
I do. So Dave has this document that he makes that we all read off of for Hypecast, and his headlines are often better than the real headlines.
Right.
And this one made me laugh. I almost refused to read the article because I was like, that's all.
What they say is that it's two priests who have to, quote, put aside their differences to save. So that to me sounds like they're rival priests.
Yeah.
They're rival
priests.
I want the version
in competition.
Yeah, I know the version you're imagining, which is like he's doing a baptism and Al Pacino like runs in and goes, like, "I'll take a baptism for me." Yeah,
put that baby down.
Yeah, but there's no version of Al Pacino and Dan Stevens working together that doesn't delight me.
I hope they have just the archetypes of ancient priest, sexy priest, who will win.
Yes.
That is also an acceptable movie for this to be. I don't know if they're against each other. Though it's implied, seems like it'll be given what movies like this are, but I want it to just be some form of vote. Like, I feel like at the end we should know who wins, and I hope it's Al Pacino.
Yes. I hope it is them versus, like, they have to win. By the way, it's based off a true story.
Yep.
Okay.
But, like, most exorcism movies are sadly based off true stories of just people who need medical assistance getting screamed at by priests.
Right. To deal with exorcisms.
Yeah. But yeah, I think this is actually just gonna be a pretty subtle horror movie, right? This is
It's gonna be creepy priest's horror movie, seems.
It's not what I want it to be. Like, I have an image of a movie in my head.
What is it? Is it like their 70s Vice Cops?
Yeah. And like at first they're fighting over the exorcism, right? They're like talking over each other and they have to work together.
Hey, demon, pull over.
Yeah.
Get out of the car.
Get out of the car. Dan Stevens turns to Al Pacino. He's like, "Do you want to do a bump?" He's like, "Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Give me that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow."
That was actually Dan Stevens the whole time. Al Pacino's like, "What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Why are you talking, my boy?"
This is, I mean, Dave's absolutely right. This is the best movie that's ever been pitched.
Yeah. This is the best fucking movie. Like, how can this not be the best movie ever made?
Perfect. It's a perfect film. Flawless. Beyond reproach.
Saving some souls.
Yep.
Yeah. Going around in a bus or something, just like fucking talking about Jesus, freaking everybody out, doing cocaine, beating
lots
up demons.
Of gold, really, yeah, really too much gold.
Imagine being a young lady who they think is possessed, just having Dan Stevens and Al Pacino on your ass, just screaming at you, like, it's horrifying. I can't wait.
I hope there are grenades in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Guns.
Get her out of the room.
I hope
kill
one of them
all.
Pulls out
Sold
a gun on
later.
The other.
So good.
God damn it.
Like, honestly, Dan Stevens is not even really a part of this. Like, it's not. Like,
no.
He is. It doesn't prove it. But it could be Al Pacino and literally anyone as priests.
Yeah.
And it's still good to me.
You know,
rival priests at an exorcism.
I mean, what would make this perfect is if the exorcism was of Russell Crowe, right? Possessed by a demon.
Oh, man.
Where they have to, like, run away. They have to, like, hide from him. It's like Alien, where he's just lurking in the shadows.
There's gotta save the Pope.
Eyes. He's scuttling. Russell Crowe is scuttling.
He's under the floorboards.
Holy shit.
Russell Crowe and Al Pacino, rival priests. Sign me up. I'm sorry, Dan Stevens. Yeah. Even though I love you.
No, he's going to do something fucked up and weird.
He's
going to
do something.
He's going to do something over the top.
He's got the wild eyes.
Yeah, Dan Stevens' weirdness. It's the less cool weirdness.
It is.
It's the weirdness that if it's like it was like a friend of your brother's where you wouldn't go around that person. Like, it's not cool. It's like that guy is genuinely freaking me out in a way.
Yeah, he's creepy.
Where you feel like you're going to catch him masturbating in a, like someone's drawers or something.
Right. Yeah.
A twinkle in his eye almost guarantees it. I'm going to walk like in guy... on you jacking off. There's just no way it's not going to happen.
He's the guy at a party where, like, if someone started a fight, it would immediately escalate to murder.
Okay.
Like, he would stab someone
instantly
in the neck
dead.
With a pen.
Just slamming a person's head in the refrigerator.
Yeah, just a single over in a second.
Yeah. So, yeah. Best movie.
Yeah.
It's called The Ritual. Look out for it. Fucking Al Pacino and Dan Stevens.
Ancient
rival
Al Pacino. What is he, 90 at this point?
He's got to be.
In his 80s.
He's got to be... dust.
Yeah.
He's very
also,
old.
Didn't he have a kid? Didn't he have a kid?
He just had a kid.
He has like a 2-year-old.
He and Robert De Niro, I found, are on the Wikipedia page for oldest fathers.
Yeah.
They are
still fucking.
Some of the world's oldest recorded fathers.
Yeah, they're just strutting around impregnating people like alley cats.
Yeah, just... jizz all jizzed up, dude. They fucking
just a wild Pacino scampering away.
Yeah,
leave a saucer of milk for him. Yeah. Oh,
Marcus.
Creeping out the bushes.
He won't stop. Oh. Someone needs to fix him. Oh. He needs to get caught and neutered.
He needs to be in a snare trap on like a little animal control snare.
Let's build a trap.
Thrashing around. Just, let me out of here.
It's just heat sequel scripts and cocaine is what's inside the
just
trap.
Flying off of him like Sonic's rings.
Oh, fuck.
Thrashing around.
Yeah. Al, stop it.
Stop it,
you're
Al.
Listening.
Stop fucking.
Get your dick out of there. Get your dick out of there.
Yeah. Well, you know.
All right. Well, that's it for news stories.
Sure,
we should thank some more producers.
Yeah,
we talked about the news.
All right. Big thank you to No One Can Hear You Screaming Space McNulty.
Thank you.
Thank you to Norm from Cheers. Thank you to Pete Forpagel.
Thanks.
Thank you. They get a pneumonal ultramicroscopic silico volcanoconiosis anti disestablishment Tarianism Jones.
Thanks.
They get a pre order Jason Pargin's new book so he can keep making big feats.
Thanks.
They get a psychic Bigfoot.
Thank you.
They get a Rev MD.
Thank you so much.
They get a Ricky Cilantro.
Thank you.
They get a Rosemary's Baby from Eraserhead.
Thanks.
They get a Screaming Horse Pyramid.
Thanks.
Thank you. They get a Sorry Cop, World's Most Laughable Centrist.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Steven.
Thank you.
Thank you to the conveniently placed self-destruct button on the top of every baby's head.
Thank you. Let me swoop in here. Thank you to the ghost of Dave Thomas.
Thank you.
Thank you to the Midnight Patron with Patrons at Midnight.
Thank you.
Thank you to the let me try that again. Thank you to the Municipal Medicinal Arsonist.
Thank you. Mm. Yeah, you got a hard one this
time.
That's
a challenge.
Yeah.
I like that they have a very specific mission statement. Thank you to the Oatmeal Savage.
Thank you.
Thank you to the 2B Terror Bunny says, the strikes may be over, but egg David Zaslav for fun and profit.
Thanks.
Thank you to these 7Bs.
Thank you.
Thank you to Tiger Jaws Pratt Thompson. Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Thank you.
Thank you to Tip Drizzle.
Tip Dribble.
Thank you to Tux.
Tux.
Thank you to Vincent.
Vincent.
Thank you to Why Don't You Take a Flying Fuck at the Moon.
Thank you.
Thank you to Yorgos from the Island of Crete.
Thank you.
And thank you to your mom.
Thank you.
Yours.
Woo. We did it.
We did
under
it.
Under 90 minutes. We got it.
We did it. Dave.
We're done.
Before
we're done.
We punch out, hop into our mech suits.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to need to ask you a question, Dave. I need to know whether you have a movie that deserves more hype.
Please, Daddy. Daddy, do.
I do and I don't. And what I mean by that is I have a movie that I want to see, but I feel like it's like I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay. Because, all right. I'll take you guys through this. I'll take you all through this. So this movie is out on streaming in the Americas. It is coming out May 20th in the United Kingdom. But if you are in America, you can watch this today. It's called The Coffee Table. Now, on paper, it is about a haunted coffee table, which sounds dumb. And I thought it was dumb, too. And then I started reading the reviews, and it is being described as, quote, like from this Collider called said, quote, there is no other horror film you'll see this year as incessantly cruel and mean-spirited as The Coffee Table. There's several reviews saying this was horrifying. This is the most horrifying horror movie of the year. It is disturbing. I gasped I was upset. I couldn't believe it. It's amazing. And it's about a haunted coffee table. Now, from what I can tell.
That's pretty hype.
Yeah.
Hype already.
And it's like, it's literally like people saying like, there are people saying like, okay, there's horror movies and then there's this. Like someone compares it to the quote, the ill-fated drive from Hereditary, if that was a feature. And so like, again, there's literally people saying like, this one says it's cleverly written, beautifully performed, and quite unforgettable, and yet I cannot in good conscience recommend that anybody watch it. In fact, the director has told people the same thing. So like every review is this. It's like, listen, it's not like a fun horror movie. This is like a disturbing, this it's like people describing it like so. Kids. Yeah.
Oh, kids.
Yeah. But it's about a haunted coffee table. And so what I can tell is based off the synopsis, it's about a new parents who have a baby and they have a fight over a coffee table, which descends into madness. And I think that's because the coffee table is possessing them or putting a hex on them. I'm almost certain because it says it starts with like a jaw-dropping thing that goes out like throughout the movie. I'm guessing, and this is based off nothing, that baby fucking dies.
That's a dead baby,
yes,
right?
That's
there.
That's
baby.
A dead baby.
Yeah. 100%.
And I think what happens is that there's a dead baby, and one of them is either trying to hide it from the other, or it just snowballs into something else, or like they try to get rid of the evidence, or like, I don't know. But it sounds, I don't know. I have to see it. I have to see this movie. And yet, like, again, as the reviews are saying,
not like looking forward to it.
Exactly. Surely. I don't want to tell people go see this movie. It doesn't feel responsible to say that. It's just a movie that's apparently extremely well made, well performed, and really disturbing and about a haunted coffee table.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
They made the Lego movie good.
Yeah.
Abe, what's on your mind?
Well, obviously, it's not a haunted coffee table that like attacks them and kills the baby.
But what if it is?
I actually think it's a really cool horror angle to take something immaterial and it relentlessly becomes the focus of your heartache. That is a elevated horror like staple. I love it. It's a great theme because it makes me go like, oh, what things am I worrying about that's going to like basically fuck me over? It's a small film. You can tell there's like the first few shots are stuff like people going up stairs and shots of people weeping. And then the stack quote, be prepared to be dramatized. And I'm like, these are just people living in a house. It doesn't, you know, it's, I get why indie doesn't garner the hits, but you can tell, or at least I was super impressed by the director/cinematographer/team. They know what's up. There's like 18 different tricks in this trailer alone, just visually. Unfortunately, the smallness is apparent. You know, in terms of like the budget, it's all shot in a house. Hey, man, I'm making a small film soon.
this is a problem getting people excited about your movie. You know, we can't get these huge things. And that's honestly why we chose like a topic like furries for our movie. Because while it's true to Swaim's life, it's kind of a cache of global opinions on the topic. This movie is like, what if the coffee table is haunted? And you need something. You need something for small films.
I think you're right where it's like, it's ultimately, it's not about the coffee table. Like, it's clear that there's like, it's tapping into some deep-seated problem with this couple or something.
Right.
But the coffee table is still implied haunted, right? So, it's both. That's,
yeah, no, I'm really intrigued by this. I'm going to end up watching this movie probably when we're done recording.
I need to watch it.
I mean, everything, the trailer and what the write-up says, I feel like the movie is going to be him pretending that the baby's not dead. Like it didn't just happen.
Like holding it. Yeah,
well not that.
Just like...
It's just because they say it's like, imagine one of the pull quotes was, imagine if the ill-fated drive in Hereditary was the entire movie. And that's what he's doing in that drive.
You're right.
Spoilers for Hereditary, but that's what he's doing in that drive.
Yeah.
He's
just
like,
pretends.
That didn't happen. That did not just happen. Just going home.
Yeah.
Going home.
Getting in bed.
Going about my day. That seems to be what this movie is. And that's
probably drops the baby or something.
I assume he drops the baby through the table. Yeah. It's a glass topped coffee table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Pretty sweet.
It looks.
I'm just imagining like the teenagers being like, "Oh, the haunted coffee table movie. Let's throw this on.
They're like,
let's get really high and throw this on.
I love my mom."
Yeah, and just losing it.
And I know I've told this story before, but it's when me and my goofball friends in like middle school were like, let's watch Candyman.
Yeah.
Nope.
Is that Simpsons
gag?
Did
not go as expected.
That is not a fun horror movie.
It's the Simpsons gag. It's Bart and Fink.
Bart
or
and
Naked
Fink.
Lunch. I can think of two things wrong with that title.
At least two things wrong with that title.
Exactly that. It's like, hey, I mean, I've said that, like, we used to play the game where we'd go to the cult section of our video store, grab something, and then get really high and end up watching, like, Begotten, or, like some John Waters thing, or,
Irreversible.
Like, Doom Generation,
I have seen all of these movies.
Yeah, where it's like, you're so high, and you're like, this was a fucking mistake,
man. About Doom Generation.
Oh, yeah, I didn't. That seared into me. These fucking movies.
Oh man. Yeah. So the coffee.
Doom Generation is the one with the fucking soup can, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I see. You know exactly what.
Severed head starts talking. Yeah.
Yeah. Meet the Feebles. That's another one I watched ridiculously high. And this would be one too. This looks like a delight.
But so it's not. I mean, they could have cast the table as Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Just
he's under the floor. Okay.
They keep trying to put
the
cocaine on the table and they're like, the cocaine keeps vanishing.
Oh.
And we put it on the table.
Oh.
Give me the baby, Dad.
I'm imagining Al Pacino just in a on all fours. Just
Dan
on
Stevens
all fours.
Comes running. He's like, give me the baby, Dad.
I'm the coffee table. Okay. No, you're not, Dan Stevens. Get the fuck out of here.
Fuck. The coffee table for coffee dead table. Baby fans is available
world
now.
Over.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, the write-up seems to indicate that we'd never see the tragedy or whatever the incident is directly.
Yeah.
We only see the aftermath or their reaction to it.
Right. But it's amazing how every write-up is like a cautionary write-up.
Right.
Where
it's
like
right. It's like a fucking audio log you find in BioShock.
Yeah.
Don't go down this corridor.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you're gonna have to watch this thing. Fucking.
Oh man. Yeah.
Get disturbed by this.
Yeah. Hype.
Get down with the sickness with this. We did do it. That's a sode.
Woo!
Woo! Abe, thank you so much for being on the show, man.
Hey, man. That's pretty cool of you to say, and I loved it.
It's pretty cool of you to be here.
Do you want to plug stuff again?
I don't know. Go watch Shogun. That was a really good TV show.
I need to watch
it's
that. You're
pretty fucking good.
Yeah. I got to finish Dark, but yeah.
Oh yeah, Dark. Dark's good.
I like Dark.
I love
crazy
movies
Germans.
And I love TV. That's pretty.
Yeah.
Hype.
I got what? I got to watch this movie. I got to watch Hundreds of Beavers. That
oh,
was
yeah.
one we covered on More Hype. That's out.
I was just talking about this. That's like my recent Bader Meinhof, which is the psychological thing that is like you hear it once and then you just keep seeing it in the world constantly.
Right.
And that movie is that for me. It's like the universe is telling me you need to watch this movie now.
Yeah, you do.
Looks pretty sweet, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, do that. Check out Small Beans. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, GAMEFULLY, unemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder is a Maniac, and then the ones we do with the Small Beans, Spiel Boys, with these two clowns over here, Star Trek Next Futurama. There's a new one of that coming out covering a very special episode. And then we watch movies every Friday night as well. There's a tier where you can watch movies. Maybe we'll watch The Coffee Table. Probably not.
That seems like Monday movie night.
But
which
maybe.
Is what...
We'll watch The Coffee Table.
Yeah,
sorry.
Do it on Monday.
Didn't want to step on that. That was a solid plug segue.
Yeah. No. It's because we also have a movie night on Monday nights to start your week off early. And we go in the deep shit because Michael Swaim likes, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to watch like Come and See and shit.
Yeah, we keep it kind of light. On Fridays.
You're like,
late-ish. Monday.
Late-ish. We also have a store. Head over to GamefullyUnemployed.com where you can find a link to our Teespring store where we have all kinds of cool original artwork and designs. You can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all kinds of things. So slap your little coffee table and peepers onto that.
Yeah.
Maybe ding, not. Ding, maybe ding. Don't slap anything onto the coffee table. Maybe
no,
that's
don't
the lesson to learn.
Table.
Maybe, yeah, definitely not a baby-sized thing.
No.
If you have coffee tables in your house, contact your priest. Or put them outside on the curb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Contact your Al Pacino, your Dan Stevens,
your local
your
Pacino,
Russell Crowe,
a trusted Pacino.
All right.
We're out of here.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. Find him on Twitter at TheCorlew or go to shipwrecksailor.bandcamp.com. Our channel artwork is by Michael Vincent Bramley. For more of his work, go to mvbramley.art. Episode artwork is by Justin Brown. Available on Twitter as @JustinTBrown or at artnessbyjustinbrown.com. And finally, additional artwork by Starlene Hodge. You can find her work at starlenearts.com or Twitter @StarleneX. Goodbye now.